This is the beginning of Class 7.
Sashi Bhagi Jushin Netosham Vira Vinci Nyende Yampadi Sange Shindu
consisting of bad thoughts. And he has removed both. He's the only being who has removed both. Once you remove both, you are Buddha. The word Buddha means to like wake up. But the Tibetans translated it as Changchu. So Chang means to clean. Chup means to understand, to comprehend. So the word for Buddha, in one of the words for Buddha or Buddhahood in Tibetan, is the person who has cleaned out those two obstacles and who has spread or who has comprehended all objects of knowledge simultaneously. In one instant, the Buddha knows everything. He's omniscient. Is he omnipotent? Can he do anything he wants?
No.
He cannot. If he could, there would not be cancer. There would not be horrible car accidents. Those sufferings would not exist. If he had the power to, you know, say, oh, it shouldn't be like that, he would absolutely, definitely do it.
Because of his compassion.
Yeah, of course. And his knowledge. He knows about it. He cares about it. So he'd definitely do something. But he can't. It's our own karma. Okay. Sen means mind.
That's right. He has
no,
he has ambitions, but not
one. Omnipotent. He is not omnipotent. The Christian God or the Western God, the Jewish God and the Christian God, is supposed to be omniscient. He knows all things. He's supposed to be also omnipotent.
Which means that he couldn't be compassionate, right?
Apparently not.
We can't have all three in what we have,
right? I mean, that's pretty bad.
It's true.
I don't debate Christianity much because it's not... I mean, it's better to concentrate on your own practice. But yeah, that one point is pretty insurmountable. Sen means mind. So this is the Sanskrit word for this is what? The Sanskrit word for jhana alone is
excuse me.
Both. Yeah. Together.
Bodhi is Jhanchuk?
Yeah.
Mike, isn't there an expression of Jhanchuk Ki Sen?
Yeah.
Is that the same as Jhanchuk Sen?
Yeah, it's common to make a Tibetan two-syllable word out of a four-syllable word, because they love two-syllable words. They love two-syllable words.
Oh.
So this is the Tibetan word for bodhi chitta. You sometimes see chitta spelled this way. It's because they mean to differentiate between two cha sounds. So they use like the Italian cha. Yeah. Okay. But I don't think they should, you know, that's only for scholars. So they know which Sanskrit letter they use. And it's, I think it's incorrect to use it in a book because people will say bodhicitta. It's only to differentiate between two letters that we don't have in English anyway. Bodhicitta. The first thing to notice about this, I'll give you its definition, the rough definition. Okay. The wish to achieve enlightenment for all beings. And it grows out of renunciation. Because renunciation is fed up with the suffering of this life for yourself. And a lot of people didn't get that quite straight on that last homework. And Changsen, Bodhicitta, looks at other people and says, oh, they have the same problem I have. They have the same suffering I have. The state of mind, Kyabje Pabongka says, is the same state of mind. Renunciation and Bodhicitta, the wish to achieve enlightenment, are the same thing, same feeling. It's just that one is focused at just me, and the other is focused at all sentient beings. But it's the same state of mind. It's want to get out of suffering.
Did you say it grows out of renunciation or goes out? What did you say?
You have to have renunciation first because you can only have compassion by truly understanding. It's not compassion for someone who doesn't have a house, or someone who's got cancer, or someone who's got AIDS, or something like that. It's compassion for anyone who has samsara, or who is samsara, which means what? Those five impure heaps that they can't stop.
So were you saying then that bodhicitta is really feeling for the root of their suffering, not for the external manifestations of their suffering?
It's concerned for their samsara.
The root of it, not the
I mean, of course, that will be a natural outcome of having bodhicitta is that, you know, you would try to help homeless people. It's kind of be suspicious of people who talk about bodhicitta but not helping the guy next to them, you know. It seems probably a little strange.
So then you would feel the same toward everyone.
Yeah, because everyone has these five parts. Everybody has the same problems. I like to think of it as, I was on a plane one time going to Chicago and they made us, they circled for a long time. We started to go like that. And then they said, we think we're going to crash now. And please take your shoes off and take off all jewelry, because as the plane burns, it'll burn through your fingers. And you'll be able to run faster if you don't have shoes on. And, you know, and then they said, now you get down like this. And you know, then they started to back up, you know.
Then they said April Fools?
Or? Yeah, and it was like, and the emotion in the plane was a few people cracked up, and then most people got this incredible feeling of brotherhood, like, okay, I might die right now, so, you know.
Here's my wife.
You felt that love between people.
You gotta take it off anyway.
You're all in the same situation, like, you're all gonna die in the next 10 minutes or not, you know. And you felt this real incredible love for each other. And at that point, at the plane's coming down, you don't get this thing of, oh, I don't like this guy's face, or this guy, his elbow hit me when he put his seatbelt on. The time is gone, you know. All you're thinking is, well, I might die with all these people. Let's be warm to each other. We were really warm to each other. It's incredible. You know, and then we didn't die.
Everybody ignored each other again.
we are exactly the same situation. I mean, if you think about it, we are currently, you know, all of us are suffering. It's the same situation. In Kyabje, I mean, Jetsam Kapa says, if you fell off a cliff with somebody else, would you argue on the way down, you know? I don't like your breath, you know, I don't like your face. We're all in the same situation. I mean, we all have all fallen off the cliff already. The plane is going down. I mean, so be nice to each other. What else do you have to do, you know? You're all going to die shortly, so why fight? I think, who is it, Perry or something like that? He went to the North Pole. He didn't make it. He's in a small house. It's like 1920. For hundreds of miles, it snows like 20 feet deep. He knows he's going to die, but he has like 5 days to think about it. And his journal was very beautiful, and towards the end, he seemed to get like this feeling. He said, you know, his last entry is like, by God, you know, please take care of please take care of humanity, or something like that. His reaction was some kind of love for everybody, because he had nothing else. He knows he's going to die. He got this very mellow, sweet feeling. You know? And that's what it is, Semke. Okay, Changsem. Semke means the same thing. Normally you'll hear it referred to in Tibetan as Semke. When we talk about the sequence of paths, we use Changsem. It means the same thing.
What's Ke?
Ke means to develop or grow.
Changsem still means mind in both cases,
yeah? Yeah. So I ask you, is Bodhi mind?
What's K?
K means to develop or grow.
Samson still means mind in both cases,
yeah? So I ask you, is Bodhi mind? If you have Bodhi mind, are you necessarily a Buddha? Or can you get Bodhi mind before you become a Buddha?
You have to get a bit too much.
Yeah, that's not all the aggregates. It's part of the aggregates being claimed.
But isn't Bodhi mind the mind of a Buddha?
Yeah. The aspiration.
Yeah, it is not the mind of a Buddha. So people translate it sometimes as Bodhi mind. It's a very dangerous translation. It makes people think that this is the mind of a Buddha. It's not. It's the mind which would like to become a Buddha. Okay? It's the state of mind in which you would like to be a Buddha. But Bodhi mind does not mean Buddha mind. Different thing. Changsem, Bodhicitta, doesn't refer to the mind of Buddha.
Yeah.
So unlike Bodhisattva then, Buddhas wouldn't have Bodhicitta anymore.
Why?
Because if you're wishing for something that you already are, I mean, it makes no sense to you.
There's a big debate about it in the monastery.
No, I mean, I know that the debate about whether Buddhas are still bodhisattvas or not, I can understand that, but on the other hand...
Well, they still have desire to be a Buddha.
Buddhas
still go for refuge.
So while not all beings who have bodhicittas are Buddhas, all Buddhas have bodhicittas.
Yeah, so I want to go through the combination, okay? Just so you know, I mean, these are technical things. You become a bodhisattva when you get Changsem. Changsem, when the first moment of Changsem arises in your mind, you are a bodhisattva. They are simultaneous. What makes you a bodhisattva is having Changsem.
Is it aspiration?
It has to be really, really powerful and deep. And we distinguish between preliminary bodhicitta and real bodhicitta. There is a bodhicitta that you can get before that. They call it sugarcane bodhicitta because it's really sweet but it's hollow on the inside. Meaning it's not really powerful yet. It's not really the real thing.
So this is the real.
And this is the real thing. Yeah. And very difficult. And there's a joke in Tibetan. When you do this Sangye Chodan, Toge Chanam La, the second part of that is the wish. It's called the wish. And people say, well, I got the wish because I recited that before class. I said, look, it's not that easy. You know, this is one of the hardest things in the world to produce. Yeah, this wish means it's not just a wish that you're a Buddha. It's like some incredibly strong state of mind, which we will get into next week, next class.
I thought that we weren't a bodhisattva until you received emptiness directly.
Now I'm about to talk about that.
Okay.
All right.
Michael,
yeah.
One final question. Is one of the characteristics of true bodhicitta that is irreversible, or could you have it and lose it? Real bodhicitta.
If you will study in Abhisamalankara, which is the perfection of wisdom, which is your next course. It takes us 12 years in the monastery. You're going to do like 1 year. There are certain subjects which are set aside. You take it. In fact, this is a textbook. I helped edit it. These texts were missing until about 5 years ago. A lot of them. And we recovered them. In fact, there's still some pages missing. And we had to write, you know, a note that the one page gone can't find it for 30 years.
What do you mean they were recovered?
There were just no copies at all. They were burned by the Chinese.
Where did you find it?
You found like one piece of it over there, one piece of it over there. We collected pieces from all over. And we got it all back together. But in here, there's a separate subject on... It is a separate subject called the Salam Topsu, which means there's 15 combinations of paths. If you reach Bodhisattva, can you go down? If you perceive emptiness, can you reverse? If you reach nirvana, are you automatically a bodhisattva? Like that. It's a whole subject. It takes a long time to study. Basically speaking, I'll give you the guts of it right now. You're a bodhisattva, yeah?
Is that commentary on the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra?
Yeah. Commentary on commentary on commentary on commentary.
Plus the text of the original.
No. They never read the original. They memorize a few lines of it sometimes. But these are more clear, because the originals are like code word. You can't understand it unless you study this for years. Okay. So you become a bodhisattva by getting bodhicitta. When you get bodhicitta, you are a bodhisattva. How does that relate to seeing emptiness? You can be a bodhisattva long before you ever see emptiness directly. And even long before you even understand it intellectually, you can become a bodhisattva.
But isn't it the first bumi to see emptiness directly?
We'll get there. Now, I'll cover that. Don't worry.
Right now? Okay.
If you like, I'll cover it now. I wasn't going to. Okay. So achieving the wish to help all other beings can occur long before you understand emptiness, even intellectually. Much less directly. Now, what if you... Excuse me.
You also said without being aware of the issue.
No, not that. You know. You definitely know. Even before you directly perceive
emptiness. Before you directly perceive
emptiness. Long before you directly perceive emptiness, you can achieve bodhicitta. And even before you intellectually understand emptiness, you do achieve bodhicitta. Now, what happens if you have bodhicitta in your mind? Once you get it in your mind, it's like water in a sponge. Okay? It's all over your mind. And then you perceive emptiness directly. This is like dynamite, nitroglycerin and dynamite, you know? Then you reach the first, what we call bhumi, on the first level. There's 10 levels of bodhisattva levels. Okay? So you can be a bodhisattva long before you reach the first bodhisattva level. The first bodhisattva level, and perceiving emptiness directly with bodhicitta in your heart is to achieve the first goal. But I wasn't going to get into that. You don't have to worry about it.
Just come on, man.
I just always got confused.
Third track.
Can you repeat that? The first bodhisattva.
I didn't want to really get into it.
I know.
What we call bhumi, or the first bodhisattva level, occurs when a person who already has bodhicitta in his mind, who's already got bodhicitta, perceives emptiness directly. That moment of perceiving emptiness directly and reaching the first bodhisattva bhumi are simultaneous.
Is that translated as
level? Or
yeah, you call it earth, level. Literally it means earth.
Ground.
Ground. Sometimes they call it ground. It means level.
Ground, okay, ground.
And sometimes they mangle it as ground. I mean, that's one of those. It means literally ground. It means level.
So the first bodhisattva level and the first bhumi are the same thing?
Yeah, bhumi means bodhisattva.
Okay.
Bhumi is the Sanskrit word.
So wait a minute, but you're saying you can't reach the first bodhisattva ground and also perceive
emptiness, correct. With bodhicitta in your heart. You have to have bodhicitta in your heart and then see emptiness directly. And that is the first bhumi. You don't need to know these things.
Do you make a distinction between having it in your mind and having it in your heart?
No, I mean it.
Well, isn't there a distinction made between...
No, very, very.
It seems to me it's actually in this book. Between actually having the wish strongly and acting.
Yeah, once you already have
bodhicitta,
there's two levels inside. We'll get there. Okay, so that's bodhicitta, right? The wish to achieve Buddhahood. Sometimes they call it semke, which means changchuktu semke, to generate or to develop the wish to achieve Buddhahood. So semke is an idiom, semke is a synonym for changsem. We're going to call it changsem in this class, but you will probably hear it more often referred to as semke.
What was the word you put in between?
Changchuktu. Du means two.
I know, but what is that
translated? Du looks like this. To get the desire, to develop the wish to, which is du, to become a Buddha, to get to Buddha.
Well, I never know
if it's going to
be T or D.
It, there is no English equivalent. It is between a T and a D. And that's why people fight about it. And it's a silly fight, because there is no English equivalent. As you will learn one day, when I trick you into fighting Tibetan.
Changchukki
Sempa is the long form of this.
Changchukki
Sempa. Not Sempa. Sempa can mean something. And it makes sense, right? Because Changsem is a kind of renunciation, right? It's just renunciation focused on other people. You can have it a long time before you understand the true nature of reality. Is it hot?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Is the air conditioner on?
Is it on the right thing?
On the right?
Yeah.
Is it cool?
It's up.
If you want to crack the door, it's fine.
No.
Oh, it's just hot outside. Just pretend you're in India. They make you wear your full robe. The first year, no one told me you didn't have to wear a wool robe. Changchu?
Changchu.
Hey, Changchu?
Changchu.
Sempa.
Changchu?
Sempa.
Changchu.
Sempa. Changchu means body, right? Buddhahood. Sem means mind, right? And I love the word pa. Pa means warrior.
Warrior.
You stick that on the end of life
thing,
right?
Yeah,
that
just
means
warrior.
Doesn't
it
mean people also?
Warrior. Oh, in Mongolian, it's fighter.
That way it's conflict.
Yeah, no, that's a different
conflict.
Yeah,
they're from conflict.
How do you develop bodhicitta? I would like to hear again. How do you develop bodhicitta?
That's what we're going to do this class.
All right.
Actually, next class.
Because somehow you explained it already, partly.
is a verb of renunciation.
It really is renunciation, and it's, you know, no one really got it clearly, and I guess I didn't explain it clearly. But it's just renunciation focused on everything. All of it. Okay, Chanjusampa means, you know, a Bodhi mind warrior, which is Bodhisattva. This is the Tibetan word for Bodhisattva. A person who has what? A person that has what? Bodhisattva. Anyone who has this real, true wish to achieve enlightenment in order to help all other beings is automatically a Bodhisattva, a warrior of them.
Is that the same thought that they put on the end of, like, the Lupa?
No, no, not at all. That's a simple P.
Okay.
It only occurs, like, at the end of Vajrasattva. That's just like on
in what?
Vajrasattva.
There's a pa there?
Yeah, there's a warrior there, too. He's a warrior of the diamond.
Dorje Sempa in Tibet. Dorje Sempa.
Oh, okay.
So the va is the warrior part of the Sanskrit.
Yeah. No, the sattva.
Sattva.
Sattva means warrior.
Oh, sempa together means warrior.
No, va.
What is sempa together?
What
is that? Mind of warrior? That's
warrior. It is. I've never seen it really explained right.
Tell
me
that they're all together.
I mean, sattva. Yes, the twa is iti, tat means truth. I don't know. Okay.
So where does that fit into the understanding of the word? I mean, it seems like you've mentioned it, but I haven't connected it to anything yet.
I think
some sort of lion heart or something.
Yeah. I think most basically we'll get into it. I'll try here. Okay.
Michael, what page is that on?
It's not clearly, I mean, you won't be able to pick it out of the text, but I can tell you it's on page 42. But it's spread out throughout those two pages, so I'm just going to sort of collate it for you. It's line 4, line 3. I'm going to start giving you a long list, of which on your quiz I can tell you in advance you're only responsible for 6. Of just what Bodhicitta can do for you. This part of the book is supposed to get you excited about getting Bodhicitta. Before they tell you how to do it, how to get it. In all Buddhism, before you do a practice, you're supposed to understand what it's going to do for you. You're not supposed to start it until you're really hot on it. Okay? And they're supposed to give you a long list of benefits before you... It's supposed to get you excited about wanting to get it. And then they say, oh, by the way, you can also get it. Here's the way. And you're by that time, you're
and furthermore, for
Gewa means what?
Sunam.
Gewa, you have Gewa. Gewa D, Gewa means virtue. Good deed. I don't like the word virtue so much. Virtue refers to characteristics like bravery. Gewa means a good deed. Gewa? Namkin. Namkin means omniscience. It's short for Namatamji Chumbak, which means to know everything, Mr. Know-it-all. Knowing all things. You can see everything in the world in one moment. You can keep your mind on it all without getting confused. Okay. Namkin ki. Ki means of. O-F. Of. Gyu means cause. Cause. So still well, what do you guess? What's that mean?
Cause, omniscient, good deeds.
And in Tibetan, oftentimes you have to supply the verb. If it's a verb,
it is.
It is the cause.
Yeah. No, what's the noun?
No, the cause.
What is she?
The
cause. Good deed is.
Good deed.
And the cause.
The cause of
motivation.
If. Proper motivation.
If what? I
mean, if you have bodhicitta.
Yeah, if you have bodhicitta. And only if you
have. Only if you have bodhicitta.
This is the first benefit of bodhicitta, okay? The first benefit of wanting to help everybody, the first good thing about it, of wanting to become Buddha so you can help everybody, the first good thing is that it becomes a cause for what good things you do, they make you a Buddha. Because usually if you do good things without this desire in your mind, if you just do something good for somebody, you just get what?
Yeah.
Is it still samsara? If you do something good for somebody...
Yeah. Not necessarily,
no. No, but does it lead... If you do something good for somebody, but you don't understand what you do, and you don't have these three principal paths, then is it a cause for samsara? Yeah.
But if you do something good...
Good for a bodhisattva.
You know, and by the way, I just want to say one more thing about that. I mean, like right now, you can have ice cream, right? Or you can have a good friend, or you can hear good music, or things like that. Those are all results of gila, of good deeds. Is it samsara?
Yeah.
It's going to change. It has to go away. The end of it is death. The end of it is teeth rotting out, ears going, eyes can't see anything, stinky, no friends, lose money. Always the end. Go to a nursing home. That's where you'll be.
Yeah.
That's the best thing that can happen.
But what about having the fortune of leading the Dharma?
Now that's a different thing.
Does that mean something else?
We said
that we.
That's a different thing.
But what if you do something good without knowing, without bodhicitta, but you happen to do it for bodhisattva? Like if somebody.
For a bodhisattva? He's a bodhisattva, you don't know it, and you do something good for him?
Yeah,
it's tremendously virtuous. Tremendous virtue, incredible virtue. I mean, to exponent, like a million times better than doing it to a non-bodhisattva.
Why?
He's just a very, very holy object. If you aid him,
and
doing
really
good means, you know, you feed him, he can go teach people this holy thing, which among all the words in the world being spoken today, which among all the words in the whole universe being spoken today, are the only words that can really help him. So really, tremendous virtue.
Even if you didn't know.
And the opposite is very true too.
Mm.
And they say, be goddamn careful. You know, anybody you meet on the bus, he might be a bodhisattva. And he could very well be a bodhisattva. Do not get angry at him. Do not say something bad to him. Mm. You don't know. And the opposite is also true. If you say something bad to a bodhisattva, incredible bad karma.
Okay.
So they use it as a reason not to say anything bad to anybody, because you don't know. I don't know who you are.
I thought
your
motivation was always essential in this
condition. Not with powerful objects. That's why... I have a lousy motivation, but I help my teacher, or I work on things, and that's...
Huh.
You know, I mean, just the power of those objects gives me some benefit, you know? We all have lots of motivation. We all have a selfish motivation at the basis of it. Usually,
sometimes people commit non-virtuous deeds, and their motivations really aren't non-virtuous.
No, right, and we talked about it. We'll get into it. Fourth chapter, we got a question.
But then, all right, now, Michael, in between somebody who...
Obviously less than a full time, but still a full time.
In between someone who is doing a virtuous deed that is a samsaric result, and someone who is doing a virtuous deed with bodhicitta and so forth, which is the result of Buddhahood, is someone who's doing a virtuous deed with renunciation but without bodhicitta, which produces nirvana, right?
Yeah, by the way, you can...
So that would be a virtuous deed that is not samsaric and not producing Buddhahood, right?
Directly.
Right, so that's in between.
Yeah, you have that possibility. And he mentions it here, actually. Now he starts listing. By the way, these benefits come from a book called Bodhicharitara. He's pulling it out of Bodhicharitara.
And Shakyamuni.
Yeah, Shakyamuni.
Can you write down?
It's been translated as what? Bodhicharitara's Way of Life. It's a good translation. I like it.
There's two ways to spell it. I'll give you a short one.
Okay. Learning to act like a bodhisattva. Okay? How to act like a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva's way of life. It's a good translation. This is a short Sanskrit name. It's a long one. But you don't need it. Don't worry about that. I'm not going to test your own. It's just for your own interest. He's using that book, and he's using Chandrakirti's basic book on thinking. Root text on emptiness. Called Madhyamikavata. He's using those two, and he's using a third one.
Michael, is it easy to find this book that I never found reading? What is it called? 50 stanzas? Where can you find?
Which one? There's a lot of 50 stanzas. Gurus of Ocean? Guru Devotion?
Guru Devotion, yeah.
I think I have a copy of it, yeah.
Can I bring it in?
It's a Xerox of a Xerox, I think. From one of the Tibetan pamphlets.
Yeah,
I'm going to
do that for sure.
50 verses on Guru Devotion.
Don't say shut.
The experience of the day that you get it, by the way, you know it. You know it incontrovertibly. An experience, and you have it, and you have certain almost physical sensations happen to you. Yeah. And, certain, almost like a feeling of light coming out of your heart and going out to other people, and that your life is dedicated now to other people, and that you will spend all your time doing it. And it's an actual very, and you're sure of it. You know you got it. And it's some kind of almost physical sensation. Pami.
Pami.
Chakchar.
Chakchar.
Vepa.
Pami.
Pami.
Chakchar.
Chakchar.
Vepa.
Okay. This is another benefit, okay? Sa. Sa, do you know? Sasa.
Gods.
Sasa means. Sasa means land of the gods. Los Angeles. That's the capital of Tibet. The Ha part means God.
Los Angeles is bikinis, isn't it? Not
that it
Angels.
Angels. Pasa,
the capital of Tibet, means land of the gods. The name for the capital of Tibet. But this is only half of that. This one means God.
Plural.
Yeah. God means... Do we accept the Hindu gods? Do we accept that there's this guy Ishvara, Vishnu? We do. I mean, Buddhism accepts that those beings exist. They accept that there's beings that you cannot see, and they agree that you cannot see them, and that they have incredible power. But their power is temporary condition. They will die. They do suffer. It's not worth it to try to reach that, but they are much more powerful than we are. And they do exist.
Power over what?
I don't know exactly.
They're samsaric, right?
Yeah.
They're very high.
They
samsaric.
Have huge kingdoms up on planes that we can't see.
Samsaric.
They have millions of servants serving them. They are.
They dance a lot.
They have incredible palaces. They have huge pleasure gardens. They have thousands of gold.
Is it given to interact with us on this level?
They say that they have some interaction. There are kinds of beings that you can't see that can cause you problems.
Benefits.
And Buddhism says you can't see them. And Buddhism says you should doubt them.
Should doubt.
So if you're a logical person, you should doubt them. You cannot see them. They can only be established with some kind of logic.
Is this why
are
these realms? Do they believe one of the high realms?
Yeah, they're actually in all three realms. They're at the top of our realm also. We can't see them.
Are these the gods that this refers to?
Yeah. I mean, just, I'll describe it this way: incredibly powerful and happy being that you and I can't see, and Buddhism admits that you can't see. So, you know, I say, Buddha said, consider it. You don't have to accept it. In fact, if you did accept it easily, wouldn't be a Buddhist.
In the Buddhism, there is not God as a creator.
No, and that's why the word God, generally, I translate it as pleasure being. They are beings who are in a state of incredible pleasure because they did very good deeds in their past life, especially because they did very good meditation in their past life, but on the wrong objects.
So Michael, it's like the Greek God.
The universe was out. How did it proceed? When did it start? Never? Endless?
No, there's samsara.
Where did the third chapter in the
samsara?
Well, how did our universe start?
Yeah, our universe. Yeah.
Christianity,
they say God came and it generated
We do say that universes start, how they start, how the earth is formed, how first beings are born on this earth. All that is in the Abhidharma question. And we'll study it.
All right.
Fourth year.
Something like
the first thing. In fact,
it's a
Garden of Eden.
Yeah. It's
accepted.
Yeah.
And
it's
discarded
in
the
other because you have a lot of merit.
Yeah, we're reading about this in that book on the Buddha that I
taught.
It talks about God, which is the creator God, as being the first kind of a being.
The beginning of
the universe. My comments.
We don't accept.
You know what I'm saying? Though, that they think it's a god, and then they bring other beings in to surround them. So that it's
do we accept like Ishvara? Yes. Do the Hindus believe that Ishvara made the world? Yes. But we debate them on that. We say he can. He cannot make the world.
Why not?
Who made Ishvara?
Yeah.
Who created the karma as a law? Let's say, if the karma is a law, right?
Yeah.
So who created this law?
Your karma.
In the fourth year, okay?
A pleasure being sort of a bad consequence because once you get into that state, it's very difficult to know achieve good because you don't have that suffering.
It's like a kid who's born rich, you know. I mean, our boss is a kid. I hate to pick on my boss. He's a really good person. And he is a good person. But he has a kid who was born a millionaire or multi-millionaire, okay? And they often get in worse trouble. He's had a psychiatrist before age 10. Oftentimes they have more trouble in life because they are not hardened by the hard things in life. And they almost prefer that the kid be, he should have a little bit of a hard life and then he'll grow up stronger. And it's like that, yeah. We believe that also. We believe that it's a disadvantage to be born as one of those beings.
But isn't being born that way supposedly from good deeds? It doesn't end up being.
It's pleasant but not ultimately beneficial. There's a distinction. Virtue is defined as an action of body, speech, and mind which creates you some pleasant result in the future. Not one which might be good for you, I guess.
Two points briefly. It's not, I mean, there's in our culture we can think of the Greek gods. That's somewhere in that direction, right? It's not exactly the same. Zeus was created, but I mean, we all think about them lounging around all day in fantastic robes and whatnot, number one. And number two, I've heard it explained also that the Ishvaras and the Indras and the powerful gods like that are also, it's more like an office, that there is always an Ishvara, okay? And in fact, we've all been that before. It's like being the president, you know?
And that
there's always some being passing through that, but it is still samsaric, so it's not permanent. But there is, at any given time, always a king of the universe or a queen of the universe.
Not always, but yeah, it does
generally
happen
speaking.
Over and over again.
Right.
Me means what? Me means not, but what about some of the time it's a noun meaning what? Person.
Human.
Me also means man. Human. Ala me. Chak. Chak means hand. Hand. You know Chak Thelo? Yeah. Chak Thelo means to seek something from the hand of your mama. Tell means to look for something. So the word in Tibetan for bowing down means I'm looking for something from the person's hand that I'm bowing down to. Please give me nirvana. Please give me Buddha. The word means that. So namas, right? Namaste. So chakjar upa means you are.
Jar?
I'll get there. Mm. You are worthy of the prostrations of all other high beings in the world.
Humans and gods.
Jar?
Chakjar upa means worthy. Jar means to be bowed down to. Okay. That doesn't seem like a big shake to you, right? I mean, you don't care if somebody you can't see is bowing down to you. but what it means is by you're automatically a big shot. Okay, you are. If you get that state of mind, it would be quite proper for anyone who ever met you to get down on their hands and knees and kiss your feet.
Including these gods in the
Yeah, even the highest beings in the suffering world.
So
then to respond, Michael, when they say on the yellow book here that one of the most difficult things to overcome is fame, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot better than having them shooting at you.
But he wouldn't have this if he didn't have renunciation, right? And renunciation doesn't have
it. So it's clean already.
But it's someone who wouldn't be swayed by it is someone who's also worthy of it. And
that's the way it usually works.
Yeah.
And these are beings that you should doubt anyway.
Yeah, the heart. No, but not the me. It's really bad. Me's are human.
What?
Me means human.
Oh.
It means gods and men. What it means is that you are automatically the king of the world. People may recognize it or not, but you are the holiest people in the world. You become a different kind of person. You're worth a lot more now. You're a hot property.
They'll stop trying to mug you.
No.
So you're worthy of all men and gods bowing down to you.
I think that's what
happened. In the translation of jar.
Jar means to be.
To be.
And chak means bowed down to.
Chak literally means hand, but it's short.
For chak sour chaw.
And the kufa.
That's what means you are worthy.
You're worthy.
So did you say the whole sentence?
Yeah, you are a person who deserves to be bowed down to by every other being in the world, in the universe.
You're worthy of the prostrations of gods and men.
Okay.
Trying to get it in one. Humans. Also, the Buddha is often referred to as the teacher of gods and men, right?
Please say Nyanran.
Nyanran.
Silki.
Silki.
Nimba.
Nimba.
Nyanran.
Nyanran.
Silki.
Silki.
Nimba.
Nimba.
Nyan means listener. It's a kind of Buddhist. Okay.
A
very high kind of Buddhist. He has already reached nirvana in some case. He has already reached nirvana. He has understood emptiness directly. He has true renunciation. He can even have reached nirvana already. Hearers, they can hear someone describe bodhicitta. And they can even pass it on to other people what they heard. They can't practice. That's the problem. They're called listeners because they can learn about bodhicitta from somebody. And then they can go even, they can say, I heard today a lecture about bodhicitta. Wait till you hear about this. But they can't practice it. They're not practicing it.
Is that true of all things that they encounter?
No, it's just specifically the classical etymology of why they're called listeners. They're hinayana. Rang means rang sangye, self-made Buddhas. Self-made Buddhas. Are they real Buddhas? No. Are they called Buddhas? Yes.
Rang. Is this Rang?
Yeah. Rang stands for a word called Rang Sangye, which means self-made Buddha.
These are the solitary.
Yeah, they call them solitary. No,
what is that?
All of you guys say that. Every translator.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Would you rather be a which is more clear to you, solitary realizer? In fact, it's even wrong. It's incorrect. It doesn't mean
that. What are they? Why are they even called Buddhas? I mean, you're talking about people who achieve nirvana, not Buddhahood?
Right.
So why is, how did the term Buddhahood even get in there? Is that just a bad translation that stuck?
Even the Hinayana tradition wouldn't call them Buddha.
There is a Buddhahood which is not called Buddhahood. There's two Hinayana Buddhahoods.
But I thought Buddhahood depended on bodhicitta.
We were assuming full Buddha. Total Buddha. Total enlightenment. I don't want to get into it.
Long story. Nirvana doesn't mean you're a Buddha.
No, it does not. Absolutely.
I thought in the Hinayana tradition you didn't achieve Buddhahood at all. At any
point. Not Mahayana. Of course they have Buddhas in their books. Of course they achieve Buddhahood. Lower. Long story. I don't want to get into
it.
I'll teach it to you later.
They understand renunciation, but they don't understand correct view.
No,
they don't understand correct view.
A version of correct view.
But they don't have
a version of correct view, or the same exact correct view.
Big debate. Big debate.
That was fun.
No,
you said, you told me one time there's a Hinayana emptiness and a Mahayana.
That's only according to the lower mind. Okay, next.
Cellmate Buddha, what do you mean by that? Cellmate. I'm supporting the cellmate Buddha.
Oh, self-made means he doesn't have any teacher in this life. He practices by himself, and he becomes he reaches a kind of nirvana. But we call self-made because he does not have a direct teacher in this life. Now, does that mean he doesn't have a teacher? No. He had thousands, maybe millions of teachers before in his past lives. They taught him. Then he was born in this life. He had no teacher, but suddenly he understands everything.
And he doesn't have bodhicitta.
No. That's why they're called self-made Buddhists. And then they say, well, are they self-made? You've debated the monastery. Of course not. You have a million teachers.
But where is the Buddha? I mean,
it's in Rang Sangye. This is only one syllable that stands for four syllables.
Okay, so the word Sangye is in there.
Yeah.
So it's Ben that actually refers to the Buddha. But what does this do in Sanskrit?
Pratyek.
Pratyekabuddha
means the single one.
Pratyekabuddha.
No, Pratyekabuddha.
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 Pratyekabuddha. One who is by himself in meditation. But it's not a real Buddha. That's why you have to say Yanggaba Dzogchen Sangye, which means totally. That's why you get that phrase, totally enlightened. Because there is an untold name right also. Okay. So, yeah. Silky Nyumba is one word. It has no. You can't explain the parts. You have to explain the whole thing. Silky Nyumba. Silky Nyumba means to outshine. Outshine. An example, my Lama always says, when Queen Elizabeth goes to one of these royal weddings, and first out comes this little prince, and then comes the Duke, you know, and then comes the Crown Prince, who's pretty hot stuff. Then comes Queen Elizabeth. She's got some quality that when she comes out, all the eyes go to her. Even though she's not very pretty now, you know, everyone, she's got some kind of a...
charisma.
Some kind of a...
presence.
Presence that aura. Outshines all the other people. So that's what Silky
Nyumba
is.
She's got a crown on her head.
She is a queen.
She's
the only one who is a queen in that group. So when your eye goes to her. I mean, she outshines. When there can be a moon in the sky, at low, down near the horizon, and then the sun comes up, Silky Nyumba the moon. The sun, you know, bursts out its light and the moon disappears. That's Silky Nyumba. Silky Nyumba is a hard word. So if you what?
Overshadow.
Kelly.
You have shine. Listeners to self-made.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are heavies, you know. They have achieved nirvana. They have perceived emptiness directly. They have true renunciation. They got rid of all their bad thoughts. But you outshine them like Queen Elizabeth outshines all of them. And you don't even understand emptiness yet.
seems kind of seems a little out of balance there.
No, it's, but it's true.
Yeah.
So you can perceive emptiness without.
They can't become a Buddha. You can.
You can perceive emptiness without bodhicitta.
Absolutely.
True.
Sure. I thought that was.
In fact, that's what these two have done. Not at all. No. There's one school of Buddhism that says they don't perceive pure emptiness. They perceive a
version. Is that
Madhyamika? It's a lower school. But the higher school says they perceive it. They see it.
All right.
Can you tell the whole meaning of
it? Yeah. If you get that bodhicitta, if you really want to help all people, you are shining more than those arhats, arhats. People who see emptiness directly. Big Buddhists. But you are better. Because you want to help all people. It's more important than all these other things. And you shine stronger than them. They already understand emptiness. They already meditate perfect. They already stopped all their bad thoughts. They already reached nirvana. But you are better than them. Because you want to help all people. Yeah. You're shining stronger than that.
Sometimes, Michael, it seems that if you have the right attitude, you don't need to go into through the old intricacies. Intricacies of the Buddhism, learning of these things, you know, because if you have a right attitude, like the Dalai Lama said, right? In that document that you were mentioning, he said, forget about Buddhism. The important thing is to develop loving kindness and for the other people. That's the most important thing.
What if you get both?
Oh.
I mean, that's always my answer. What if you understand the car perfectly, mm-hmm. and it's also running
you
wrong?
You can drive.
You know, I mean, isn't that the best? It's an atomic bomb.
Besides which, wouldn't, if you develop bodhicitta, it would just force you to become a Buddha so that you could act on it, right? I mean, you can't just want to help everybody and then just sit there and look out the window feeling like that. Then it would motivate you to do the best you could, and the best you could is to achieve enlightenment and omniscience. So it would come from it, no?
Well, he's saying, you know, we're going to spend 5 years studying the tiny details of everything.
Right.
Isn't it better just to go meditate and get bodhicitta?
Yeah, but if you did, then you would stop meditating, go out and spend 5 years to learn the details of everything to become enlightened so that you could do bodhicitta.
Yeah. I mean, that's one aspect. But it is true. I can tell you one thing truly. We will spend, and in the monastery we spend a total of 14 or 15 years on the Madhyamika school. On all the arguments that were ever held between Madhyamika schools. The day that you perceive emptiness in 5 minutes, you grasp entirely that 15 years of study. I mean, there's nothing in those 15 years which you didn't just understand perfectly. And at that point, you don't really need those books. It's true.
Seems also true that there are monks that they can work with the mind very well, and other monks that work through their heart. They don't go into reading scriptures or books. They just feel it. That's enough, and then they are gardening maybe.
There's mechanics
different
that can
types.
Fix the car by instinct.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they learned it another life.
Yeah? Every piece of the car. Which would you rather take your car to?
I think the question is, can you experience emptiness, for instance, without spending the 15 years?
Minutes of meditation. It has to be 1 or 2 or 3 hours of meditation. If you never in your life or on a regular basis meditate for 1 or 2 hours, then by definition, you cannot reach these things. You never will.
So it could be just waiting to happen, and it never does until you're born somewhere and you sit down for the first time for 1 hour, and bang, and everyone says, look at this guy, I didn't learn from anybody.
But it's, but normally, to be able to sit like that, you have to be doing it almost every day. It's like weightlifting. It's like exercise.
Go ahead. The Lama said, you know, to really get it, to really make progress, it's like 25% listening, 25% debate, 50% meditation, and if you don't have that basic combination, you can't really progress.
That sounds good. That sounds good. We will debate. We are debating, right?
Okay.
No.
You want to have your motion.
You want to debate about that we're not debating? Okay.
These two benefits don't seem really very important. I mean, it doesn't seem very important to have people bow down to you or outshine people.
I don't think it's so much that they bow down to you, it's that you are worthy of it. You are. It's not that, okay, I'm king of the world, okay? But what it's saying is that you become the most special person in the world. You are a special person. Yeah, it's not. I like the other benefits more myself.
Yeah, I'm hoping that there will be some better ones.
If I tell you this, if you have this kind of love in your heart, you are further advanced than an arhat. You are further advanced than a person who has seen emptiness directly, who has true renunciation, and who has reached nirvana. You are more advanced if you have this love in your heart. That's a big deal.
That's like comparing.
Well, yeah, one who even has just a wish, a strong wish. It's actually, that's a pretty big deal. Have some tea. And I will say, there's not much to go. We have a few to go. It's not for them. I mean, not by that
point. No, that's the point. If you're worthy of it, then if you couldn't be swayed by it, then you really are worthy of it.
What is chapter? What is tantra? It's renunciation aimed at everybody. So if you don't have renunciation, it starts out aimed at yourself, and then you don't. If you're going to get proud about being by yourself, then you didn't reach, because you have renunciation.
It's, there's ironies involved. It's like when you don't want anything anymore, you get everything you have. When you don't care about people bowing to you anymore, then you really are worthy of it.
Chungse means the tiniest, just a tiny guti. And he says here, giving a little scrap of bread to a bird, giving just some little crumb of bread to a bird, just to give a little food to a bird. Tekchen means, do you know?
Tekchen
means Mahayana. Sure, you know.
Sure.
So people always talk about Mahayana Dharma, right?
Mahayanas talk about it. About the Hinayanas.
So the smallest action that you do, the smallest good deed that you do, even giving a piece of food to a bird, becomes Mahayana Dharma. Mm. If what?
If you have bodhicitta.
There's a big debate in the monastery about what does it mean to have bodhicitta. What does it mean that you have bodhicitta? Like, let's suppose you reach bodhicitta, you get real bodhicitta in your mind.
Becomes what?
And suppose you start thinking about something else. You know, you get mad at work. Do you still have bodhicitta? Or do you lose it?
Well, I guess there might be two kinds, no?
So what's the question again?
Because you're not, you know. Excuse me?
What is your
question? Let's say that you get bodhicitta. One day you sit down, you're meditating, you have this true experience of wanting to help all beings. Giving up your life. Now dedicating your whole life like a light, you're just shining. Your only function is to shine on other people. You don't want anything. And let's say you do that. Then let's say 2 hours later you get angry at somebody. Did you lose the bodhicitta while you were getting angry?
Is it possible to hold two thoughts simultaneously?
No.
Is it possible for someone with bodhicitta to be angry?
No, I don't think so.
Of course it's possible. Within the chief cessation.
They say that the moment of anger burns a field of merit, tears of merit.
Yeah, so by the way, you You get bodhicitta long before you get nirvana.
Yeah.
Before you eliminate your bad thoughts, you can have bodhicitta. That's on your grid. I mean, home.
So you can have, you can have.
Long before you get rid of all your bad thoughts, your six big bad thoughts, for example, anger, jealousy, desire, ignorance, things like that, you can have bodhicitta. So let's say that you have bodhicitta, then you get angry later. Do you lose the bodhicitta? Are you, by the way, if you do lose the bodhicitta, you're not a
bodhisattva.
Yeah, you became an unbodhisattva. Right? Is that possible? What happens? The answer is, in Buddhist scripture, the mind is soaked with bodhicitta. There's no good word for it in English. It's called simba. Simba means health. Yeah, it's permeated by bodhicitta. And you may get angry, you may even think about some girl or something or whatever, but you have bodhicitta at the bottom. You still have it. That's a very important question when you perceive emptiness directly.
What do you mean you may think?
Because at the moment you perceive emptiness directly, you cannot perceive a normal object. You can't perceive all sentient beings to be worried about. It's impossible. So even at that moment you have bodhicitta. You do have bodhicitta. There's a famous text. When a bodhisattva is sleeping, when a bodhisattva is angry or got his mind distracted on something else, when he's going to the bathroom, he's still working for all sentient beings. It's incredible. The power of this attitude is that even when it's not present in your mind, you have it in your mind, and everything you do, every little thing you do is a bodhisattva's activity. It's Mahayana Dharma.
Even if it's not your primary conscious focus.
Right. Any activity you do. And they say going to the bathroom, you know, cooking your dinner, it becomes Mahayana Dharma.
And that's once you have attained
real bodhisattva.
But it seems, Michael, that you need stabilization, sort of. I've heard about this word, becoming stable, because otherwise you can be completely crazy. 5 minutes you love everybody, and the next 5 minutes you start
screaming. That wouldn't have been real
bodhisattva. True, emotionally unstable.
Yeah, no, it would not have been real bodhisattva. Okay?
You're saying you can actually commit
to absolutely, sure. Yeah, bodhisattva is commitment.
Because it can come, but bodhicitta can come before the correct view, right? Once you have the correct view, you don't do non-virtue anymore.
Huh?
Correct view. When you achieve,
sure you can.
You can.
Why is there gomran? Gomran is to purify yourself. After the tonglan, after the path of seeing, after you perceive emptiness directly, you absolutely can commit bad deeds. Sure.
But anything you do with correct view couldn't be a bad deed.
If you have a correct view, if your mind is on the emptiness of an object, you cannot have a bad thought about it. It's impossible.
Michael, at what point are you beyond it? I'm sorry, is that when you're an arhat? Are you beyond the capability of...
Yeah, an arhat cannot have a bad thought anymore. That's what makes you an arhat. That's the fifth path, not the third path.
So would you say that sentence before you erase it?
Yeah, yeah. Where's the English?
Yeah, what? The very tiniest good deed that you do, the very tiniest good deed is Mahayana Dharma. There is no is. In Tibetan, you don't need an is all the time. I might not get on. I might. That's why Tibetans who learn English, they don't need an M.
So,
oh, that's interesting.
So then your non-virtuous actions, while being done with the permeation of bodhicitta, would not produce the same kind of negative result, the same depth of negative result that a similar non-virtuous action would, that was caused by someone who was out bodhicitta, right?
He adds two more things to that same sentence, okay? You could call them more benefits. I'm going to put a dot. This is Tibetan way of saying it.
So is this number 4A or number 5?
I would call it number 5.
Oh, no, when we talk, it's number 5.
We just had number 4. Now we're doing number 5. I'm going to give you more than 6. You only have to remember 6. Pick the easy ones. Pick the ones you like.
No,
this
no,
is
that
still?
One was good.
The next one's 5, the last one was 4?
This is 4. We're going to call this number 5.
Okay. It means and, da 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 da?
Yeah. You copy the same part here, Gewa Chung Se. I already gave it to you. The first 4 syllables of the last one. In Tibetan, they do this, and it means, I'm not going to write the whole thing over again. You know what I'm saying.
Because they had to carve it in wood, right?
The last statement that you made is, are the actions themselves permitted in the book? You know, someone gets
angry the mind.
About the actions of the mind. So the mind is permeated with bodhicitta, then what are the actions? The actions are less...
Are motivated by a mind permeated.
So they're less detrimental or something.
Yeah. Less. Okay. So what is Gewa Chung Se? What was the blank part here?
The tiniest virtue.
Yeah, the very tiniest good deed that you do is... And gyu, what does gyu mean?
Cause,
sangye, Buddhahood. This is the other word for Buddhahood. So just you give a small piece of bread to a bird, it can make you a Buddha. If you have this
right motivation,
Changsem, second path. First path was renunciation. First path was renunciation.
Right.
Second path is Buddhahood. If you have it, then little tiny good things you do, it can make you a Buddha later.
Is that indirectly? Or, I mean, it seemed like we spent a great deal of time earlier in this class saying that unless it had correct view, it couldn't be the cause of anything but something samsaric.
Right.
Now you're making a second case here?
Well, by that time, you're so close to getting correct view.
No, you said even you haven't experienced emptiness yet, even you don't even have an intellectual understanding of it yet, you've got bodhicitta, and then your good deeds are now a cause for something other than a samsaric result. Whereas earlier in the class you gave the impression that unless it was correct view, it would produce a samsaric result.
No.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. Merit, you know.
Ultimately, even a bodhisattva's action, except on the king room,
ultimately
won't bring him.
Ultimately.
You say that again?
But let's not. They don't say that in the text here. They're concentrating on the benefits. You know, we can debate it, and we will. But the point here is that the smallest good thing you do can make it. So, say,
Gel.
Say.
Gye. Chöpa.
Good, Michael.
I think it's Ross Rowe which said, that's a gotcha.
Gel.
Gel.
Oh, you write it down. Say,
Gel. Say. Gel.
Gyalse is another word for bodhisattva. Okay. Gyalse is another word for bodhisattva. I'm going to explain it shortly. Gyi means of. Chöpa means the activity. The activity.
The
activity of. You know, if you want to act like a bodhisattva, this big bodhisattva, all you have to do is give a little piece of bread to a bird. It's Gyalse Kye Chöpa. It is a world-shaking activity. It is a universe-moving activity. If you have that capacity. That's pretty powerful. They say that the universe shakes when a person gets gets this in his mind. Somebody on planet Earth gets bodhicitta, finally gets it. Then they say, like, you know, Pluto shifts a little bit, you know.
People get sick?
No, like the whole world will move. Because they say the world jumps because it's happy. The whole planet, you know, the whole Earth.
Oh, yes.
Move a little
bit.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't call that an earthquake?
No, they call it Sayon. Yeah, earthquake.
Yeah. That's in the Prajnaparamita, right?
It's often quoted in the Sutras and in the Sutras. Yeah, I'll say Kichupa. Okay. The activity of a bodhisattva. Just giving any small thing you do, any small good thing you do.
Is that a separate item or section?
No, it also needs that first part. That first part. I'm treating it as a separate item, and you can.
Okay. How is this different from four?
Yeah, I just used good deed that you do. Confused on what this means.
Technically, it's the same in the end. Okay.
How's it different than the Thais virtues?
I don't know.
What's that?
How's it different from the Thais virtues that cause people?
Well, is it different to be the cause of a Buddhahood? A Buddhahood? And be bodhisattva activity, and be the activity, and be Mahayana Dharma. See, this is slightly different taste, right? Oh, he's doing Mahayana Dharma. Oh, he's acting like a bodhisattva. Oh, he's doing something that's going to make him clear. Yeah, ultimately they're all the same. But there's a different taste, isn't there? There's a different taste.
Number seven.
What are we on?
Yeah,
seven.
Seven.
We only need six for next week. Please say Sangye.
Sangye.
Namki.
Namki.
Sesu.
Sesu.
Gong.
Gong.
Sangye.
Sangye.
Namki.
Namki.
Sesu.
Sesu.
Gong.
Gong.
Sangye, you know. Buddha. Sangye means Buddha. Nam. Makes it plural. Buddhas, the Buddhas, many, many Buddhas. The Buddhas, ki means by them, by. By them.
Must be love.
Yeah, it's a different spelling in Tibetan, the same style of English. Se means son or daughter. Sesu means as their son or daughter, as, and gong means consider. So Nidya, what does it mean?
That whoever the Vera Bodhicitta would be considered the son of Buddha.
Yeah, Buddhas,
Buddhas.
All the Buddhas in the universe, okay, you get Bodhicitta tonight at home. And all the Buddhas in the universe say, oh, we got a new daughter.
Okay,
she's my daughter. He's my son. They treat you, they treat you, they look upon you, they protect you, they watch out for you. You now have a different kind of relationship. It's possible with them because of the bodhicitta. It was not possible before. Yeah.
Rinpoche put it very wonderfully one time. He said that just like when a king and a queen has a child, it's the prince or the princess, that the whole place is happy. This is going to be a continuance, a furtherance of the lineage.
Yeah,
and that person is treated very carefully and very specially and like that. In the same way, he says, when somebody achieves bodhicitta, all the Buddhas look upon that person as a continuance of the race of the Buddhas and therefore should be protected and taken
now
care of.
Now we have another, now we have a prince who can carry on the royal.
Michael, the fact that, I don't know, I find out to visualize the Buddha, let's say, right? Is it the obscuration that I'm under or there? I mean, it seems that
which you can't do.
Yeah, I mean that.
Cannot do it.
Where are these Buddhas after all? They are in a plane that is difficult to reach.
Yeah.
For
when
beginners.
When you perceive emptiness directly, you see Buddha directly. That's the first time you see Buddha directly. the emptiness that you see is directly related to his Dharma cover. The next moment, as you come out of that experience, you see Buddha. And then from then on, there's only one bad thought, one of the two, I believe, that you lose the day that you perceive emptiness directly, is that you can no longer ever, ever doubt Buddhism. You see a Buddha directly. You know, then people can say anything to you. You know, there's no Buddha, there's no karma. Yeah, I saw. And I know I wasn't crazy. I know what I saw. I was not drinking, I wasn't sure. You know that you're right. There's two feelings going on at that moment. You know that you're not crazy, and you know you saw Buddha.
You know it's true. You know it's all true.
Well, you know you're not making some mistake.
Yeah.
You know it's authentic experience. A. B. You see Buddha. So who can tell you anything after that? You see your future lives. You see how many lives it will be until Michael becomes a Buddhist. So who can tell you anything after that? Who cares? You know, people can talk to you, tell them.
Now,
you won't doubt then we strive to get there. You mean?
Yeah, minimum it will be 7 lives. I saw it. Oh. Tell me anything. I don't care. I don't need to know anything. What do you want to tell me?
But you know,
I don't doubt anything.
Michael, is that necessarily?
Leave that one.
No.
Have that one stand. Okay. No, I think it's very important. You can yawn. I just figured out that we only have like 2 homeworks left.
You mean you got to make up some new ones, or?
If you think about it, we're only gonna have 10 homeworks left. Oh, this is number 7. You got 3 more to go up to that.
But then, what about the rest of the classes?
You don't have a homework due on the last day because it's the final. And there was no 12th homework because you don't have a class on the 12th. And you're already on number 7.
This Monday we're not having a class.
That's correct.
So this homework that
is
going to be next
Thursday,
a week.
A week from today.
Yeah, there won't be a class Monday.
This coming Monday.
Right. It's monk's attraction, and I have a lot to
contribute. A monk is in there?
Yeah.
Okay. You need 2 more to go.
To you.
We got 2 more to go, and then you're out of here. Stick it out.
Including this one? Or?
No. That's everything else I want to cook with. It's not this. Really.
It's hard. For me it's exhausting. And I know it's hard for you. It's been a lot of hours. But you're like over halfway through. And you're really doing good. And you're learning a lot. I mean, now you're learning accurate Buddhism. And, you know, people can tell you later, blah, blah, blah. And you say, well, the book actually says, Okay, please say Changchu.
Changchu.
Senpa.
Senpa.
Namki.
Namki.
Bundu.
Bundu.
Gong.
Gong.
Changchu.
Changchu.
Senpa.
Senpa.
Namki.
Namki.
Bundu.
Bundu.
Gong.
Gong.
Okay, what's a Changchu Senpa?
A warrior for Buddha.
This whole part here means Bodhisattva.
A Bodhi warrior.
Nam, we had it just now.
Sattvas.
The Bodhisattvas in the universe, all of them. Ki, by them. What does the gong mean? Same as we have.
Consider
you as to
one of them.
Their
brother.
Kun means brother or sister. It's a word that's used for both brother and sister. Every single bodhisattva in the universe says, "Oh, now I have a new brother. I have a new sister."
So the Buddhas regard you as their children.
Yeah.
Their
yeah, you're in a new family, actually. You are a different kind of person. Different class of person. Different level of person.
What to do?
I don't know.
Like, what was the pun? And then the do?
Add it. How are we going to end up
with this thing? Right now.
Yeah,
one
more.
Where does you come in there? Why are you... Okay.
Tibetan is very, it's a very brief language. It's a beautiful language for Buddhism. And it's a farmer's language, it's a herder's language. It's incredible that the deepest thoughts of humanity were best expressed in farmer's language. or nomad language, really.
Best expressed? Better than in Sanskrit, huh?
Much
better. No kidding. I thought Sanskrit was the language of the Buddhas.
Okay.
Tekchen. La. Shu.
Shu.
Tekchen.
Tekchen. Means Mahayana. Mahayana. Okay. Big capacity. Tek means, well, this is the Maha and this is the Yana. Chen is the Maha and Tek is the Yana. Mahayana means big capacity. They say big vehicle, but vehicle is not really the right word. It's vehicular capacity. It really is.
It's a cargo van.
It's a little too long, so it's a great vehicle.
It's like a car head.
It's not that it's a vehicle so much. It refers to how big a load you can take on your shoulders. Can you take all sorts of things on your shoulders? Yes. You must have big capacity.
Well, that's a vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. Tekchen La, shoot. Tekchen La means into. La means into. Shoot means entered. Entered. This is like incredible. So Laura, what's it mean? If you have bodhicitta.
If you have bodhicitta, you entered into the great.
Into the Mahayana. Then you are Mahayana. Before that, no. Technically you're not.
You're aspiring.
You can say I'm a Tibetan Buddhist, I'm a Mahayana Buddhist, but you're not. I mean, you're not a really, technically you're not a real Mahayana. When you get Tekchen Tenpo, when you get Bodhicitta, then you are Mahayana. You are a Mahayana person. And that's what makes you a Mahayana person.
When you say take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, does the Sangha mean Bodhisattvas, or does it mean Pratyeka Buddhas? Or?
This is going to be the subject, this is the exact subject that I want to do first in the second course. What is refuge? What are the objects of refuge? And it's extremely interesting. And we'll start to take a group. And that's incredible. The real Sangha is people who have seen emptiness during, not people who are wearing robes. Not people who have taken monks up.
And not bodhisattva.
No. Anyone who has seen emptiness directly is Sangha.
And what is a Buddhist?
Anyone who takes refuge. Truly. So there's a joke. I mean, it's not a joke. It's a statement that you can be the abbot of a Buddhist monastery after studying for 50 years and not be a Buddhist.
Because you haven't truly taken refuge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, Tejin Lashu. So what's the ninth benefit, and maybe a really important one? You become Mahayana Buddhist. You are then a Mahayana Buddhist.
So in terms of the saying, you have to go through each of the paths, you know, the lower, the not, the etc. Is that that's like saying first you have to have renunciation, the lower path, right?
Well, there's a trick, and it's a beautiful question because there's three tracks. There's five paths on each track. There's a total 15. You know, how do you? What's the flow chart? You know, can you jump from A track 3 to B track 4? Can you go up to C track 1 without going on B track? Can you start at C track 1? This is the whole subject. There's a whole book written about it. Basically, the advice of Lamas is, look, start at high track Bodhisattva. Don't You don't even have to go to the lower
scope. So you don't have to cultivate the lower scope, and then the middle scope, and then the higher scope. That's what you have to
do. Oh, the three scopes you do.
That's what I'm
talking about. Not the three tracks. Those are different.
You say tracks, what do you mean?
Long story.
No, I mean, if you can stay here all night, I'll sit here.
I always sit in the dorm, they can hear me coming.
Last benefit.
You never yawn again.
You're fully awakened.
Okay, please repeat. Say it. Chick means
one.
Chick means sushi, rat, and sushi. That one is sushi. Chick is number four. La means in. Sangya is the verb for sangye. Vigorous. Yeah, to become a Buddha. Become enlightened. Become a Buddha. What does that mean?
Become a Buddha in one life.
You can become a Buddha in one life. Not you will.
You can become a Buddha in this life. Which means why? Be honest. What just popped into your mind? It's true. What just popped into your mind is true.
You might not.
Uh-oh.
I'm taking a chance. What can make you a Buddha in this life?
What can make
your
Buddha one life?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Vajrayana.
Yeah.
Tantric. Yeah. Tantric practice. This refers to tantric practice. Okay. If you have bodhicitta, tantric practice will work. And you can become a Buddha in this life. You can reach paradise in this one month before you die.
So it's implied that you have to practice tantra. Having bodhicitta is not enough.
But it's a prerequisite. It makes you eligible. Okay, it makes you eligible to achieve Buddhahood and Mahabodhi. And it makes sense. If tantric Buddhahood is the experience of the world and all the beings in it as the reality of them being angels to you, wouldn't it make sense that you would have to first have a love for all of them? What else could create it? Some kind of great goodness done towards every being in the universe is necessary karmically for you to get that payback. What comes around goes around, comes around. It would require you to love every single being that you meet for you later to see them all in your fantasy. And without that, it's impossible. Karmically speaking, it would never make sense. As long as you're irritated with one person at work.
That's not fast, but very dangerous too.
Long story. We're not going to get into that. Okay. But let me say one thing. I mean, now, people were telling me that renunciation meditation was a little depressing. And it was. Concentrate now. When you meditate this week, okay, try to start to get some joy about this subject. What it means is, what if you truly wanted every person around you to be happy? And try to imagine it. that's a fun meditation. That's a quite an inspiring and uplifting meditation. You know? Try to imagine what it would be like if you truly wanted everyone around you to be happy. Because right now you don't. You get jealous if someone around you gets some success, especially if it impinges on your success. You know? Try to imagine what it would be like if you really, truly took the joy of a mother in her son's accomplishments, if everyone around you got exactly the nice thing that they want.
You know what I get in doing that? It's like I only have the frame of reference as this suffering human. So when I look around me and I'm helping all these people, it's work, it's hard, it hurts, it's pain.
I don't think so. You know, I mean, get into it. I mean, just imagine. The book says, and Shantideva, he says, even if the most broad scope you can do is wish that your neighbor could get rid of his migraine headaches, it's a great virtue. You did it's a great step on developing bodhicitta. Good job. You know, just that. It's a fun meditation. If you imagine that you went outside and you had the power. Every person you see on the street, you could give him his dearest wish. And that's nice. That's a really nice thing.
So you've got to let go of the fact that everything is suffering. And you are suffering yourself while you're helping.
Well, ultimately, the dearest wish is that. I mean, when you go out here tonight and you see these guys on the, on your gauntlet before you hit the 47. Well, just imagine, it's supposed to have the power to remove all this guy. They don't like being like that. You know, they'd like to be healthy and have a nice place to stay and eat nice food and have some friends. I just wish you could give it to them.
You mean this?
The selfish part of that is that they no longer threaten me. You.
By the way, they are threatened.
But I mean, if they could not have that suffering.
Oh yeah. Okay, go.
Homework.
Yeah. Okay.
Michael, can we add another prayer to memorize?
Yeah, there.
Already?
Third verse.
No. That's a very important
one. I was asking if you can have a grace for food.
Yeah. That's an important thing to memorize.
We'll do that at some point. A grace to say before you eat something.
Sasi Brahi Jashi Metta Jham Vira Vinci Nyande Yampadi Sange Shindu Mitte Uwagi Jogunanda Shimba
is the end of Class 7.